I do want to express my appreciation to the ladies and any gentlemen who have participated in providing the meals. Man, they have been great. Just great, great food. And again, I am grateful for the opportunity to be here in this hour. I'm sorry. I apologize beforehand that it must be back-to-back. But Wayne insisted. It was either that or go home. And no, I'm just kidding. I just hate it for you guys. Good to have you this hour. The blood that was coursing through my veins turned ice cold. My heart began to flutter. My breathing became labored. I broke out in a cold sweat, and I began to feel faint when I first glanced over the assignment for this hour. After a mild shock treatment and a couple of Xanax, my wife, who is most definitely a godsend to me, convinced me to read the assignment again. This time I read it fully, completely, realizing that, hey, I'm speaking to preachers about protecting their wives. I thought I was preaching to preachers' wives. I don't know if that which you have feared greatly has ever come upon you. But this is it. Because I don't begin to presume to understand the things that a preacher's wife endures. I really don't. And so if you're a preacher's wife, and if the things that I'm going to talk about sound as if I am from Mars, there's a good reason, because I am. However, my intent is to hopefully encourage our wives, but I'm going to be speaking to your husbands about how they can care for you and protect you. And I hope I am somewhere in the ballpark for you preachers' wives. Now, there are some things that I'm going to assume for this hour. I'm going to assume, husbands, that we love our wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5:25. As godly husbands, we are doing that for our wives. I'm going to assume that as husbands that we live in an understanding way with our wives. When I hear a man say that, man, you can never figure out women, I know I'm listening to a man, well, who one of two things, he doesn't care a thing about his life. But secondly, he's not tried very hard. He's not put really forth any effort to live with his wife in such a way that he understands her. Now, brethren, we have that assignment. We have that task, and we can do that, much to the pleasure of our wives. And we do that, well, God commanded it, but secondly, because she is a fellow heir of the grace with us. And we do it thirdly because, man, I want my prayers to go to heaven. I don't want them to be hindered in any way. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. As godly husbands, we're doing that. I'm going to assume that the husband is fulfilling his role in every aspect to his wife. Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Here's something else that I'm going to assume for this hour. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Joshua 24:15. As godly husbands, as the spiritual leaders within our home, we're doing that as godly men. Now, Joshua understood that the choices that he made had a profound impact upon those who were under his care. And I hope we husbands understand that and realize that. Now, these qualities that we've examined are assigned to all husbands. But now, what we're talking about in this hour is how we as preachers can protect and care for our wives. Now, the next statement is I don't intend it to be goofy or funny, but I'm convinced that most preachers' wives are not properly understood by the congregations. I think there are a lot of times before people even know who she is. Before they get to know her, they have expectations, and most of the time they're unrealistic, of the preacher's wife. Some people are going to judge her unfairly. They're going to judge her unfairly based upon her appearance, upon her children, upon her husband. Some people are going to be shocked when they discover that the preacher's wife is very much a human being just as they are. Now, whether we like it or not, whether it's fair or not, there are some facts that we must face. Now, I am going to preface these by saying that I know that it's not true, the things that I'm about to read off to you. Many people in the church, excuse me, I didn't mean to yell at you. Many people in the church consider the preacher's wife an unpaid employee. Her husband is employed, and they consider her to be an unpaid employee. Number two, wives, our wives, as great as they are, as majestic and as straight from the heart of God as they are, can never please everyone. Number three, our wives have been falsely accused of trying to run the church. Falsely accused. Number four, this one's just funny, I'm sorry. Our wives are accused of being married to preachers who are just in it for the money. Oh, brother, that's crazy. Yeah. Could you imagine a church member walking up to your wife and saying it for that? Number five. Our wives will be the recipients of an attitude which presupposes the doormat philosophy. These poor souls think that all they have to do is come to your wife, my wife, and say, jump, and we respond, how high? Yeah. Number six, there are times that our wives will receive the unjust criticism as though they were church property. Number seven, our wives, rather, will be asked to do what no other woman in the congregation is willing to do. Number eight, our wives will be the target of those who dislike our sermons, especially when that sermon has shed some truth and some gospel light upon the error of their lives. Number nine, there are going to be people who try to get to the preacher by getting to you, his wife, the preacher's wife. Some members expect our children to be perfect, and they will offer their expert advice on how to rear our children. Now, I know we don't have the time to do this, but if we could pass around a legal pad, and man, we could add list upon list of those kinds of aspects. And again, I know that's not true of every member of the Lord's church. It's not true of most congregations within the Lord's church. And I am grateful that individual members, congregations, have grown in their understanding of the preacher, his wife, and his family. For that, I'm grateful. I truly am grateful. But yet, there still are occasions when our wives are going to be the recipients of unjust criticism. And it is from that which we want and will protect our wives, our spouses. Gentlemen, brethren, preachers, our number one aim is to please God. And in pleasing God and in honoring God, we're going to honor and protect our wives. I don't know of a preacher's wife who does not give, work, serve, labor, pray just as much as her husband. Now, I'm sure, I know, I'm not that naive to believe that all preachers and all preachers' wives fulfill their roles. I know sometimes we get lazy. I understand that. But I know that most wives bear a Goliath burden because they love the Lord. And they love their husbands, they love their families, and they love the brethren. And because of that, they're going to put forth an effort, just as their husbands, to aid men and women in getting to heaven. Sadly, sometimes they are given way too much responsibility. And many times, members of the church expect too much out of them. But it is in those times that we, their husbands, will guard them, through kindness, through love, through instruction, whatever the case may be, so that our congregations understand that our wives are people too. Our wives must have the freedom to decide. They must have the freedom to decide what their work's going to be, where their talents are, where their abilities are centered, and the things with which they can live. Here are some things that I thought would help. Because, listen, our wives have a right to expect something of us, their husbands. They have that right. And so I've got just a small list of some things that I think might be helpful. And I know you could take it and add to it and make it an even more perfect list. But number one, we owe it to our wives to the right to be herself. To be herself. Number one, she's our sister in Christ. Along with being our wife. And she is accountable to God. You know, I'm thankful that many of our wives are blessed to have followed other preachers' wives who have taken kind of a John the Baptist role in making the way straight for other preachers' wives that follow them. And I know that most of the congregations of our Lord's church are supportive and they're understanding, but we need to make sure that our wives are allowed the freedom to serve in the areas in which they are gifted. So as a husband, I want my wife to have that freedom to see where her abilities lie, where her talents are best used. I want to give her the opportunity to make sure she can try different things within the kingdom of God and to grow. I want her to grow just as I want every member of the Lord's church to grow. But in that process of learning and trying and serving and loving, I want to protect her from those that try to get at her, or get at me rather, through her. Now, if your wife, my wife, seeks out the help and the advice of other people, then that's fine. That's great. But protect her from those who feel it is their gift to the kingdom of God to straighten out your wife. Yeah, brother, that's exactly my response. I don't see that. So we owe her the right to protect her. Number two, we owe her our love and gratitude. Obviously, as a husband, that's going to be there. Hopefully it is. But our wives have a one-of-a-kind role within the congregation, which, as important as we think we are to the well-being of the congregation, so is she. And I've got news for you. So are other members who are loving and serving and laboring in the field, trying to help encourage the kingdom of God. Now, I have been, and I'm sure you have been as well, on the receiving end of a very kind and compassionate note such as this. Finished up a gospel meeting, and a husband and wife walked up to me and gave me this note. And inside the note, or the card rather, was this sweet note: "Please thank your wife for sharing you with us this weekend. I know that your leaving on her was hard." Well, the first thing I wanted to say is, no, honey, she's having vacation. But no, we understand. And it's so kind and caring of brethren to think of my wife and your wife in that tone. Husbands, preachers, let's take the extra time. I know time is of the essence in everything that we do. And I get that. But let's take the extra time to consider how we can express to our wives our love and gratitude for the tremendous role that they have assumed. They need to hear how much we appreciate them and value their never-ending contribution, number one, to our marriage, number two, to our family, number three, to our work as a gospel preacher. We owe her our love and gratitude. Number three, we owe her our love and our prayers. Now, you know, as I was going through this list, I thought, man, please, you know, tell me of a gospel preacher who doesn't pray for his wife. Show me a gospel preacher who doesn't love his wife, you know, in addition to the realm of the husband-wife relationship. But then I thought, well, you know, we as gospel preachers, we know what we need to be doing. But sometimes, as we have and will receive here in Focal Point, some loving, kind, gentle reminders of some things that we might need to adjust or change or improve or whatever the case may be. Number three, we owe her our love and prayers. We know God alone knows her heart. But, you know, as her husband, we may be the only person who knows her burdens. Pray for your wife by name regularly. Regularly. Then leave it to the Lord to answer those prayers according to His will. If I believe that the living God is my Lord or our Lord, and I believe that He hears and answers our prayers according to His will, then lifting up prayers for the woman who means more to me than any other person on the face of this earth, who gives her life in service to God, man, that's a dead giving. I'm praying for God to bless her with the provisions that she needs in life. I'm praying for our relationship together because there is a certain amount of stress from time to time that begins to bubble up or exist in the relationship of the preacher and his wife. You know, the time we spend in study and work or at the building, whatever the case may be, going to the hospital in the middle of the night, whatever it may be, sometimes we begin to feel the weight of that burden. So I'm praying for her and our relationship. Please don't underestimate the power of this next statement. Pray for your wife with your wife. Your wife, my wife, she needs to hear her Superman praying for her. She needs to hear you give God thanks for her and for the blessings that she brings to the marriage, the family, and the work. We owe her that. Number four, we owe her our responsible care. Our responsible care. Well, what does our wife need? I mean, does she need a night out with the girls? My wife and several of the ladies at Oak Forest, about once a month, they head out to, you know, go out to eat somewhere or kind of fix something, get a menu amongst them, and you know, they're eating and playing some kind of, I can't remember the name of the, is it foot and mouth? Oh, no, that's a disease, isn't it? Who? Hand and foot? Sounds good to me. And listen, yeah, I think that's it, bro. I can tell a difference in her when she gets back. I can tell that she has been able to laugh, cry with these other sisters and just have a great time. And, you know, when we did have children who were young enough to need care at home, yes, I gladly took care of that. I mean, it was a great time for me to be with my girls, for us to go out and get a pizza, go out and watch a movie, date night with Dad, whatever the case may be. The girls loved it. I loved it. Mama's happy. And if Mama's happy, everybody's happy, right? Does she need your understanding, husbands? Does she need your forgiveness? Maybe she has done something, hurt your feelings or whatever. Does she need you to ask her for forgiveness for something that you've said or done? Or perhaps, not that I've ever done it, but the way you have said some things. Does she need your undivided attention for just a few minutes? Just a few. Does your wife need help around the house? And that's true, brethren, of whether she works outside of the home or works in the home. Now, Mama needs a break every now and then. She does. And if you are of the, all I know is attitude, understanding that you work all day and you carry a great burden as a gospel preacher, well, bless your heart. Your wife carries that burden with you. And sometimes she needs me to straighten up that house. I'm not suggesting that I do it as well as she does. She's always found the piles of sweepings that I didn't do anything with. I got it one section, but
yes, sir.
Under the corner of the rug, but she got it. I mean, you know. Here's what, when we do things like that, we are providing our wives a haven and a sanctuary where she can find the care and the compassion and the love that she deserves. We owe her that. Number five, we owe our wives to speak up. Now, you would never think that gospel preachers would ever have a problem with speaking up. But sometimes we do. Sometimes our wives need a friend to take their side. And You know, if your wife serves in any capacity in the church, you know you better look for people to criticize her. And if she doesn't serve, you know people are going to criticize her because she doesn't serve, whatever the case may be. To some people, your wife will do nothing right. She just can't do it. You are the one, both publicly and privately, to voice your appreciation for her talents, for her abilities, for the things that she accomplishes within the kingdom of God, her love for the Lord, her love for her family, her love for the brethren, whatever she brings to make this ministry work. She needs to hear that valued appreciation. You know, the typical reaction of when someone is being criticized, whether it's just or unjust, most of the time our members are going to be silent. They're going to listen. They may think in their mind, boy, I wish he'd never said that, or I wish she'd never said that. I wish they'd just talked to them privately, which they should have done. But anyway, silence. But you, husband, you speak up. You speak up for your wife. Praise God for her willingness to get involved in the kingdom of God. Support her and bless her as you speak up. Number six, we owe our wives protection for the days that we are off and for our vacations, or during our vacations. You know, our days off seemingly are far and few between. And if you've been preaching for any length of time, your day off or days off have been interrupted by an emergency phone call. Some need has arose and you need to tend to that. It happens. That's the reality. However, our days off are opportunities for our wives to regain their sanity. I mean, from the busy week, from the things that all have to get done, they need some time off too. And they want to spend it many times with us. So here's what we're going to do. Given the understanding that there are going to be emergencies or circumstances, we get that. But we're not going to allow our work, our friends, relatives, or whatever to interfere with the time that we have alone with our wife. That doesn't happen by itself. You have to plan it. You have to purpose that. Schedule a day or two, and longer if you get that opportunity, for just the two of you. Just the two of you. And don't change it for anything. I mean, again, given emergencies and things like that. You don't have to go anywhere. You really don't. My wife is tickled to death when we have the opportunity to just have lunch together. And whether it's at a restaurant or we're eating a ham and cheese sandwich at home together, it doesn't matter to her. She just enjoys that one-to-one time. Now, I don't mean to get into an area that's going to embarrass me, you, or anybody else. But let your children know that you two need time together. And the rule is, at our house, when that bedroom door is closed, don't knock on it unless there's blood. And a lot of it. You know, one small thing that it just lights up my wife's eyes, face. In the cool of the evening, she just likes to walk around the block in our subdivision with me. I'm not real fond of it, but she loves it. I do love the time with her. I just don't appreciate the walking. Anyway, do chores together. Do things around the house together. I know a lot of times you hear about husbands and wives who are working, like painting a room together or whatever, and they get to bickering and fussing, and you know, somebody go, well, no, not if you get it right. I mean, just spend some time with your wife. Karen loves I mean, loves to paint the walls and change the colors. And and I love spending that time with her. And those are small things. And it may not sound much to you, but listen, your wife will treasure it because she has your undivided attention. Number seven, we owe them the same thing that we owe the Lord, faithful obedience to Christ. I owe that to my wife. I do. The best gift that I can give her is to live the Christian life faithfully, to live it as God intended, as God wants me to live it. And we have the potential to offer our wives the best protection this side of heaven as we love them as Christ loves the church. When we serve our master as he has commanded, we provide our wives and our families the strength and the security that they need and the security that God or that she desires. Because God made her that way. God made her that way. And God made us the way he made us so that we can complement one another and together we're complete. We're one. Not two, but one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, I'm pretty sure that Paul did not have the wife in mind. But please allow me, if you would, to make this statement. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Now, Paul's intent certainly was not necessarily the wife and husband relationship, but in Christ, we and our wives, when we follow his word, when we live as he has commanded us to live in keeping with his word, we are adequate. Adequate. It is my prayer, my hope, my desire that God will continue to bless our wives as they labor by our side, as they cry silently when we hurt, as they labor fulfilling their own responsibility and obligation within the kingdom of God. Thank God for godly women. Because, brethren, I tell you what, we'd sure be in a heap of trouble if it weren't for the women of God. I love you. Thank you very much.